Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Many of you know that back in February, I announced my upcoming retirement. And on that day, from this stage, I told you it was going to be May 31st, which is today. It's not going to be May 31st. It's going to be June 30th. Still got a month to go. But looking forward to that time in a lot of different ways, and also celebrating a lot of what's happened, not only in my life, but in the life of this church. So this morning, what I hope to do in my message is to kind of give you a capsule of what I've learned in 45 or 50 years of being a follower of Christ, of serving Him, of what it takes to engage people to actually make disciples, which is what we're all called to do as followers of Christ. And so you're going to hear that this morning. This basically is my testimony, if you will, as a follower of Christ about what God has done in and through me in all these years of following Him. And I hope that you're encouraged and that you're challenged by just walking away with something. Because you may find yourself in any part of the path that I'm going to draw out for you. It's not going to be tons of scripture and deep understanding. It's more of what it looks like for each one of us and how it can look for each one of us to actually accomplish what God has called us to do through Christ by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to make disciples. So this morning's message is entitled Listen, Learn, and Love. Because I think those three things, and we're gonna talk about those three things, and we're gonna go into a little bit of detail, but consider this message today more of an outline that you may get to read more about later that I'm working on right now. And so you can order one from Amazon here in a few months maybe. But this message really is at the core of my life. And what I hope that you can walk away, as I said, with just a little bit that will challenge and encourage you. So let's jump right in. Jesus said this 15 times throughout the Gospels. He said, "He who has ears to listen, let him listen." Now, most of you are going, "Randy, that's not what he said." He said, "Hears." Listen, in the original language, is a much better translation of how we're to accomplish what Jesus is saying then and to us now. He who has ears to listen, let him listen. Because here is our English definition of the two. Hearing is the passive, involuntary, physical process of perceiving sound with your ears. Okay, now, if you're a male in the room, raise your hand. We're fantastic at that. You know, when the females we work with say, "Did you hear what I said?" "Oh yeah, I heard." No, what happened was you heard a noise. Often. But notice what the definition of listening is. Listening is the active, voluntary, okay, you choose to, in conscious mental act of paying attention to interpreting those sounds. Think how often during a day that you hear stuff going on around you. But if you have to take a test on what you're hearing around you, you were probably doing more hearing than you were listening. I want to challenge you this morning, wherever you are in your walk with Christ, to begin listening not only to Christ, but begin listening to others. Okay? Because if we're going to make disciples of them, we've got to, at some level, get to know them, and that begins with listening to them. Okay? And I'm going to break it down very detailed on how we do that. J. James 1:19 says this to us. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There's wisdom in that. Those words that James wrote. It says be quick to listen when you're engaging people. Absorb what they're saying. Because our tendency is to be quick to talk, to quick to respond before we've really listened. So, first thing you have to do to listen, you have to slow down. And what I mean by that is you have to slow your thoughts. Because we're all busy. We all got things going on. We got stuff in our head going around all the time. But if I'm going to listen to you, I've got to slow those thoughts. I've got to slow down my agenda. You know, I'm a plan maker. You go walk into my office, there's lists everywhere. I'm following my agenda. But if I'm going to listen to you because I care about you, I've got to slow down my agenda. And my bigger schedule, I've got to slow that down. If I'm really going to listen to you. Number two, I've got to pause my thoughts. Not only slow them down, but I got to get to a point where I pause them. It's like on the TV, hitting pause, stops it. I've got to pause my own thoughts. I've got to pause my own words, because remember, my tendency is to react to what you're saying real quickly. James' instruction was to be slow to speak. So I've got to pause my words. Not what I want to say. I want to listen to you. And then I've got to pause my actions. Whatever I had planned on my agenda or my schedule, I've got to pause that. If I'm really going to listen to you. You know, and that's where going back to that definition with husbands and wives. If I'm watching a ball game and Mina starts telling me stuff, I'm hearing. I'm not listening. The best way for me to listen to what she's telling me is to pause the TV. Pause my action. And then the third thing, to listen well. Now you've got to focus your thoughts, not on your stuff. See how your thoughts went from slowing them down, pausing them. Now you're focusing on the other person. With your eyes and with your ears. You can listen with both your eyes and your ears. If you were here when I announced my retirement, how did God speak to me to tell me it was time to retire? Was it with my eyes or my ears? It was with my eyes. See, but I was listening with my eyes. Now, guys, I'm going to pick on the guys today. So I am one, so I can pick on them. But see, a lot of times we can fake that. You know, I can give mine a good eye contact. But I'm not listening to anything she's saying. I'm listening to the count and the score of that baseball game in the background. I'm listening to that. But we've really got to listen to people. Because when we listen to them well, when we do all of these things and accomplish these with people we care about, what happens is we get to learn about them. And what does that look like? James also said, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers to delude themselves. Now, he was talking about Scripture, the word. I'm going to use the truth and the principle of that verse to say that once we know things, once we've listened to them, there's normally some action involved. There's things to do. So how do we learn about people? Number one, you're listening for needs. Physical. You know, when I talk to people and they tell me that there's a physical need, I need to begin thinking, how can I meet that physical need? Sometimes I have to ask questions to get there. You have to continue in conversation. You have to continue to engage. Jesus did this all the time. I could give you multiple examples where he engaged people and he listened to what their need was. He allowed them to tell them. And that need may be emotional. It could be spiritual. You may hear in that conversation that they need to hear about Jesus. Or it may be something that they're really struggling with, certain feelings in their life. And you may not be able to meet that need, but you now know it. You learn it because you listened. You can also learn about their fears. If you talk to somebody long enough and you get to know somebody well enough, you're going to hear about things they struggle with in their past, their present, and even the things in the future. You know, at my point in life, there's not a lot of things I'm fearful of in the present or the past, but looking toward the future, things pass through my brain. And I'm fearful of that. You know, that $150 I got in the bank may not last very long. There's fear involved there. When you talk to somebody, you realize that. You get to know them. They share that. The third thing is through their stories. It's what you learn about them, their relationships. Sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes you have to ask questions. But you engage them. You learn about them, their circumstances that they're currently in, their experiences. Jesus did this all the time. He was the greatest questioner we've ever known in the world. Yeah, he was God and he knew the answer. But yet, see, he questioned those people to find out about them, about their experiences, their circumstances they were currently in, and often the relationships that caused some of those fears. Because many times that's what causes our fears. We have to interact with other people. Sometimes that's fearful. So when we've listened well and we've learned about other people, then we can love them. Jesus said this in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. See, this was new to them. Those followers of Christ, when they heard this, they're going, okay, we kind of understand love from all the different Greek words that means. But Jesus, you're talking about agape love. That the way you love me, I can now turn around and love other people. And it's not only a suggestion. Jesus says, this is a commandment. As a follower of Jesus, this is what I expect of you. If you're going to follow me, love one another. And see, we're able to do that, to accomplish it, because we've listened, we've learned about them, and now we can love them. And here's how we can love them. We can love them with our words. Words that encourage. Words that challenge them sometimes. You know, it's often in my position as a coach and a teacher and a counselor and a pastor, all those things I've done vocationally, it's when I challenge people with my words that actually I love them best. Sometimes people need challenging. Not everything's a pat on the back. Some people need to be pushed. That's just as much love as the pat on the back, as the hug. See, we can do that with our words. We can encourage and challenge, and we can also question them to make them consider what's going on in their life, what the needs that they've already shared with you. Now you know what to ask that potentially can encourage them. Allow the Holy Spirit, if they're a believer, to speak into their life through a question you might ask. So your words is how you can love people. You know, so often we confine how we have to love people. I'm challenging you today and encouraging you today to broaden that. There's lots of ways we can love people. And our words are one of those. Second thing is our actions. That's what we think about often, that we do something for somebody. It's part of loving them. And when you know how to act toward them, then you can love them well. Your actions toward them to love them well may be to help them improve. Okay? And what I mean by that is to go from step one in the relationship with Christ to step two. Or if they're at step five, to help them improve to step six or seven in their relationship with Christ. To help them improve in that. My actions can allow them to do that. And see, there's no checklist. Here's a list of things you can do. No. You can be creative because you've listened to them and you've learned about them. Now your actions can be something that help meet their needs, what they need most. You can also help develop them to make them better in whatever circumstance you're talking about. And you can also serve them. And that looks unique with the person. How can you best serve them? See, there's no defined list there. Well, I have to do this, this, and this to love somebody. You know, those of us who are married, most of us probably know our spouse's love language. And I've probably shared this from the stage, but right after I first got married, I'm going, you know, the best way I love mine is to give her stuff. Nope. Nope, that wasn't the way she felt loved. She felt loved by being served. You know, I could make the bed or wash the dishes or vacuum the floor or do the laundry, and she felt loved. I bring her flowers, and she goes, they're pretty. Thanks, Randy. See, so there's ways that once we listen and we learn about people, we know how to love them better and how to love them the way they need to be loved. And the third thing is through our generosity, that we give. And when we say that in the church, most of you are thinking, I know, Randy, okay, you're going to change this to a giving message and, you know, we're going to pass the plates. No. If you need to do that, go right ahead. That's what the Holy Spirit's prompting you. But we can be generous and love people with our time. We can be generous and love people with attention. We focus on them. We engage with them. And we do that consistently. That's communicating love to many people by giving them the attention they need. And we can do it with our resources too, whatever that may be. That we share it with them. That we actually give it to them. This is yours. This was mine. It's now yours. You're generous with that. All ways that you can love people well. Now, we listen, we learn, and we love. Why do we do all those things? So that we can influence. You know, in this room, I can look across and see a lot of people in this room that I've influenced. I'm influencing you right now. And some of you, I don't even know your name, but I'm influencing you. See, influence comes to an audience of many. We all have those groups of people that we can influence by listening to them, by learning about them, and loving them. We can influence them. But it's a group of many. Jesus did that. Think Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to thousands. He didn't talk to each one of those people. But he knew their need. He influenced them. You know, John Maxwell said this, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Now you're going, well, I'm not a leader. Yeah, you are. If you're a dad, you're a leader. If you're a mom, you're a leader. If you have a job, people under you, you're a leader. You know, and those are people that you've been given to influence. The key to successful leadership today is influence, not authority, said Ken Blanchard. I have a title here. You know, and if you did a work pyramid, you know, I'm the number two guy. I have a lot of authority. My title, my authority, doesn't give me influence. What gives me influence is that I've listened. And I've learned, and I've loved. Because right now, me sharing what I've learned in my own life is loving you guys. I'm giving to you what I've received. Here's what Jesus said. You, each one of you, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? What does salt do? Whatever it touches, what does it do? Influences. It can preserve, it can change the taste, but it influences. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men if it doesn't keep its saltiness. He goes on to say, he gives a different picture. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Another example of how we influence. We all have circles of people that we make contact with every day. Are we being salty with them, with the gospel and who Jesus is? Are we being the light in that area, that room, that business, that family? And Jesus then said, with his challenge, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And then why? To glorify your Father who's in heaven. It's not so you'll get glory. So your Father in heaven will get glory because you've shown the light. You've taken the light of Jesus Christ and you've influenced those who you cross paths with each and every day. Impact. We have influence with many people, but we have the opportunity to impact some people, to truly make a difference in their life. And that number is almost always smaller. Jesus was that example. He spoke to the thousands, but yet he had 12 that he impacted their life. Some more than others. We're going to see that. But it's a much smaller number. So you don't have to think about, well, I've got to save the world. No, you don't. Impact some people with the gospel and with who Jesus is. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says this, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You're focused on them. You want to impact them. It's not about you. You're impacting them. Verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ. Go back to the learning. What did you have to do? You had to pause. You had to slow down so that you could focus on the other person so that you could learn and love them well and make an impact in their life. And the last thing, why do we listen, learn, and love? So that we can invest in a few. We all get the opportunity to actually invest our lives into a few other people's lives. I've been able to do that. Celebrate that. First Thessalonians 2:8 says, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but also our own lives. Thank you, Jesus. My hope is, in my 16 years and 9 months at THF, that I've applied listening, learning, and loving with the desired outcome that I influenced many of you, impacted some of you, and was able to invest in a few of you. Love you guys. I'm looking forward with great anticipation what God has for me and mine in this church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this message today, a message that that's become a part of my life, that you've taught me through experiences, that you've given me opportunity to live out. And I pray that each person here this morning under the sound of my voice has been encouraged or challenged about using this outline, if you will, as a way to better share Jesus with those people that cross their path. So Lord, continue to use each one of us to influence, to impact, and ultimately to invest in the lives of other people. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.